This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. Well, this week at the UN General Assembly, two countries are not expected to meet, and that would be the United States and Iran. Iran's foreign minister said yesterday he would not be sitting down with his American counterpart. This comes after an attack on Saudi oil fields, which the U.S. says was the work of Iran. The U.S. recently imposed tougher sanctions on Iran that Iran's leader says were desperation. Just weeks ago, there was hope the U.S. and Iran would meet, with the urging of other world leaders hoping a meeting would cool tensions between the two countries. Well, joining us to talk about all this is Robin Wright. She's a fellow at the Wilson Center in Washington and a columnist for The New Yorker. Hi.
Great to be with you.
Well, there were plans for the United States and Iran to meet, at least informally this week. What changed?
The attack on Saudi Arabia clearly was a game changer. A month ago, as you pointed out, there was a lot of momentum, a hope that the French could broker some kind of new arrangement, a broader deal than the 2015 nuclear accord between Iran and the United States. There had been a meeting during the G7 summit in Biarritz. President Trump was there. The Iranian foreign minister flew in to talk about some of the details. But the attack on Saudi Arabia has made that now much harder. The door is still ajar, but there is very little light coming through the door. Don't rule out diplomacy, but there are a lot of things now under consideration in terms of how you respond to these attacks, if Iran is indeed proven to be involved, and how do you move forward to ensure that this doesn't happen again?
Right. Is there any question that Iran wasn't behind the attacks?
The Houthi rebels in Yemen originally claimed it. Of course, they are supported by Iran and armed by Iran. So there is a great likelihood that Iran was involved in some way, either directly or indirectly. But this was a very sophisticated attack. And there are a lot of unknowns still. The U.S. has made allegations. The British have signed on to that conclusion that Iran was responsible. But we still need to see the list, to find out whether it was direct or indirect, because it tells us two different things. For 40 years, since the 1979 revolution, Iran has engaged in what were plausible deniability attacks through proxies, the attacks on the American embassies in Lebanon and the Marine peacekeepers in Lebanon. When I lived there in the early 1980s, those were carried out by Iran's proxies, allies within Lebanon. Similar attacks have taken place, whether it's by militias in Iraq against U.S. forces, militias in Afghanistan by local militias, that in many places these attacks have happened, but Iran can say, you know, our fingerprints aren't directly on it. You can't find them. This, if Iran is proven to be responsible for the attacks on Saudi oil installation, would be a dramatic change in their strategic calculations, in their tactics, and would put us all on a much more dangerous course.
And the United States on Friday moved military equipment to Saudi Arabia and the UAE. And so that really raised the specter that this could become a military conflict. Although there haven't been any military strikes yet, how much does that up the ante as well?
The U.S. focus at the moment is to deploy some defensive equipment, not in huge numbers in terms of personnel, in the Gulf to back up the equipment that's being put there. The focus, primary focus right now, is organizing an international maritime coalition that will deploy in the Gulf in order to provide security for the tanker traffic that 20% of the world's shipping oil shipped to the outside world comes through the Strait of Hormuz that is between Iran and the Gulf states. And this is both to provide protection, security for the tanker traffic, but also to signal to Iran, we're here, don't engage in any mischief or you may pay a price. The United States is not at the point yet, I think, until we get more evidence, until there's more of an international consensus, that it wants to take kinetic action. But that doesn't mean that Saudi Arabia doesn't take kinetic action, doesn't respond, retaliate militarily. After all, Saudi Arabia was the country attacked. And the danger for the United States, as we've seen so often in the past, is once we get involved, it's hard to walk back over the threshold and not engage, we then become targets for attacks as well. And so I think there's a lot of discussion going on about what precise role. And after all, there are other things we can do that are not even visible, like cyber. There's an organization called NetBlocks, which reported that on Friday there was a cyber attack on Iran.
What about the sanctions the administration announced? They do seem very tough. And obviously, we saw the foreign minister react to them, saying they were economic terrorism. What is that going to do to Iran?
Iran was already facing punitive sanctions that are unprecedented, and this adds to the layers. It's one of the reasons that Iran wants actually to go back to the negotiating table, because they believe at this point that it's in their interest to do a deal with President Trump that would involve him going to Congress to permanently lift sanctions so that the next American president wouldn't reverse course and do something tougher or different. That they want any kind of deal, something that's bigger, to be part of law so that there is a security that there won't be sanctions, that if sanctions are lifted, they are lifted permanently. But Iran, a year ago, had, as the U.S. was considering new sanctions, it was really hit hard. The currency value plummeted by 70%, and that was before sanctions were reimposed. There is a huge psychological factor in all of this. Iran has since then been able to cope with the fluctuations, as the currency value has actually improved somewhat. What they want to make sure is that they can continue to somehow to sell oil so there won't be these huge gyrations. But sanctions has made sure that they won't sell very much oil. And so they'll continue to pay a price. It's just how much of a price.
So President Rouhani will be in New York on Wednesday. And do you expect any of these talks to be jump-started with his appearance? Or will the stalemate and war of words continue?
Both President Trump and President Rouhani have ruled out a meeting in New York during the UN General Assembly. It's very hard to rule out absolutely anything, anytime. They are all in the same hall, at least some of the time. But it now looks like it's very unlikely. Again, the door is a little bit ajar for diplomacy down the road. It doesn't happen to have to happen at the UN. But the fact is, both sides have still indicated they're willing to consider, under conditions in the case of Iran, sanctions have to be some of them waived or have a formula to eventually lift them all. And of course, President Trump wants to make sure that Iran is willing to talk broader than the last nuclear deal. President Rouhani is scheduled to give his speech on Wednesday, and he's going to, according to Iranian sources I've talked to over the weekend, including the foreign minister, he is going to talk about trying to create a new Gulf coalition on security that would include all those states that share that land, that share borders with that important waterway. The Gulf states are very unlikely to be interested in that kind of arrangement. The hostilities now are very deep. They go back centuries, even millennia, between Arabs and Persians and the sheikdoms today and a revolutionary theocracy in Iran. But I think everybody's trying to figure out a way to de-escalate this to make sure we don't get into yet another Middle East war.
Robin Wright, fellow at the Wilson Center in Washington and a columnist for The New Yorker. Robin, thank you.
Sure.
Okay, now is crunch time for us here at KCRW. You know, we're in the final day or two of our UnDrive. Tomorrow we end it, and we just come to you twice a year to ask you for your support because we really can't be on the air bringing you the news, the conversations, the stuff that makes you understand that what's going on in this topsy-turvy world. It's really complicated out there, and what we try to do is bring you some kind of cohesion and some kind of connection, too, because that's really important. To connect you to the world, connect you to everyone else out there, and we just need you to connect with us. KCRW.com/join. Coming up on the program, the United Nations is talking about climate change this week.
What we really need to do is focus on the fact we're having warming that's causing extreme weather fires and floods, and that we can do something about that by focusing on carbon drawdown right now.
We answer your questions about climate change next on Press Play.